Whatever up, boys, side lessons from the late Parashas Mishpatim. This week we will discuss logic doesn't make sense in Judaism. And this parasha is chock full of halacha inyanim. And it is the parasha, of course, where the pasuk says, Ve'elu ha-mishpatim, to include last week's parasha. We got the Torah, but we needed to expound on the Torah. And Rabbi Akiva says, the Medrash quotes Rabbi Akiva, who says that even if you have to teach it over and over again, the story about teaching it over 400 times, it doesn't matter. You have to give it over and over, and that's why it says, Lifnehem, as many times as it will take, a person has to learn the Torah. But one can make the easy mistake when you start to learn the halachos, and these are the halachos, of course, of business, which I'm quite fond of, and I try to teach here in Yeshivat Leva Torah. And this week, I'm teaching exactly this inyan on the first pasuk. V'elu mishpatim asher tasan lifnehem, Gemara says, v'lo lifnei hagoyim, and you shouldn't go to a secular court. My first of the sources that we'll do a little bit later on in the show. Says Rashi, v'lo lifnei hagoyim. V'afilu yadas b'dina, even if we know that they're just in their judgment, and they know what they're doing, and they're dinam like dina Yisrael, you can't go to Chil Hashem, says the Gemara in Gittin, daf pei ches. Afal pishu t'nem k'dina Yisrael. I'ata risha, you're not allowed to go there, because it says v'elish t'asin lifnehem. And says the Midrash HaGadol, even if you're going to argue and say, well, this isn't Moshe Rabbeinu, are you kidding me? This based in, right? You know how many Batei Dinim there are? Just in Eretz Yisrael, just in Yerushalayim, and certainly in Brooklyn, there are so many Batei Dinim. Lifnehem means you have to find the right basin, that's true. But there are many different types of Batei Dinim, but don't make the excuse, we don't have to go to a basin today because they're not equal to what it was the time Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, you have to. Says the Rambam, a very important point. Afal pi shehayu dineim kedina Yisrael, you're called a Rasha if you don't follow the rules. So the question is, what's so bad about going to a secular court? And there are heterim, the Gemara already discusses in Gittin, the heter of going to, or ka'ot, going to a secular basin. Sometimes the real basin will tell you can go and you can go to secular court. That will be for our later discussion. But what is the yisod, the nekuda? So one is, of course, as we said, it's a Chil Hashem. We have our own court system. Again, we're only talking about, unfortunately, nowadays, monetary. We don't have what's called a basin, a smichim. We don't have a basin that has real smicha, the smicha that we have, we meaning me, and other people. It's fake smicha, not real smicha. You know, I'm not, I joked with my, when I was, Baruch Hashem, well-employed when I got married. I had a job. And what happened was is that I was studying for smicha, and my in-laws didn't know I was really studying for smicha. It was a side thing I was doing. My Rebbe Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, at his behest, he said that he wants me to keep learning, and I have to learn. And I said, but I'm never going to use it. I'm never going to be a rabbi. And he famously said, because you tried it and it wasn't good, you can't be a rabbi ever. And little did I know that he would be right, and I would be teaching Leva Torah Shana Bet students one day. Anyway, so when I actually got smicha, I had actually told, this is just a funny story, I told my mother-in-law that I got smicha. I was very happy. It was a little bit of a surprise. We were studying for our test, and somebody was doing the klaf, and it came a little bit early, and then one Wednesday night I came home, probably, if I remember correctly, my wife was probably sleeping already, because we used to have shir until I would get home like 11 o'clock, and I woke her up. I said, I'm so excited, I got smicha. Okay, but it's not really real smicha. It's not smicha ish mi pi ish. You guys are in Sfat this Shabbos, right? They let you go, right? Yeah. So in Sfat, you have the famous, they try to reinstitute the real smicha, ish mi pi ish, Beirav, and so on and so forth, and then Yerushalayim didn't want it. V'chulu, machalikas over there. But, so the funny joke was, is that I told my mom, listen, I never knew you were going for smicha. Where'd you get smicha from? It's like, oh, I went online, I got it from rabbis.com, it was 1999, right? Fine. So this joke kind of went on. We had a family simcha, and I spoke. It was the first time they introduced me as rabbi. All these people stood up because they didn't know who I was really. And I said, wow, I can't believe this. You know, for rabbis.com, you know, I get people to stand up for me. So my mother-in-law thought this was true until finally she was telling her friends. And one of her friends called me and said, how do you get smicha for 1999? I was like, no, I'm kidding. I have smicha for Bar and Salvechik. My mother-in-law didn't believe me. But it's true. But that's not really called real smicha. So what's the point in going to, right? So number one, I'm not talking about obviously cases of, you know, dina nefashos and things like that. But why? So I think the yesod is that we think in our minds that we understand din and we don't understand din. We live in a generation that everything needs to be logical and make sense. And we like to use this parsha as the perfect example of how Judaism makes sense. Except when you get to the parshas of Evan Ivry, you say, uh-oh, we have a little bit of a logical problem here. Why? What's the problem? Says Rav David Feinstein, right? Having an Evan is not PC nowadays, to have an Evan. We know that killing somebody is against the Torah, right? But that's not really true. There are certain cases you can kill. Oh, but we know killing is a terrible thing. So how can the Torah say that there are certain times where killing is going to be okay? Ve'ela, says Rav David Feinstein, we have to recognize the fact that what we have as our sense of right is not necessarily what the Torah's sense of right is. We learn from our parents, from our friends. And then when we start learning in depth, and we start learning real Gemaras, and we go into Bava Metzia and Bava Kam, we see that the laws are not necessarily so what we think, quote-unquote, logic is. And sometimes it does, in fact, defy logic. And therefore, owning a slave seems to be something allowed in the Torah, but seems to be, our innate sense says, there's something in conflict with the Torah. But that's okay, says Rav David Feinstein, because it doesn't need to make sense. And the point is that we follow Hashem's Torah not because it makes sense. And if we were to go out to a Beis Din and it was to make sense to us, we would have a very serious problem all the time because we would get very frustrated. For example, says Rav Yigal Cohen, one of my favorite, he's a great orator here in Eretz Yisrael. Of course, the one week he came to Beit Shemesh, I was in America. A few weeks ago he came. So he quotes the Zohar. And he says, why does the Pasuk say Lifnehem? Besides the fact that it says Asher Tassim Lifnehem, Lifnehem is in the plural. He says, what does Lifnehem mean? So he says as follows, based on the Zohar. He says that Lifnehem is what you deserve. God gives you what you deserve. I'll give you an example. I lend out money, okay? And two Jews, Rapam speaks about this a lot. Rapam spoke a lot about business and business halacha. And Rapam said that when two Jews have an agreement, you should always do it with a contract, right? And in halacha, we say that two edim should be present. So you have two edim present. A guy needs a loan. Excuse me. I lend you $10,000. And you sign off on it. Perfect. Two edim sign, $10,000. Comes to the loan. And I don't have the money to pay you. By the way, Parshav Ribbis, right? $10,000 straight up. No Ribbis, no nothing, no interest. It's time to pay. What happens? The guy that lent the money, right? The person that has the money now, who can't pay back, realizes something really cool. Guess what? One of the Adim is Puzzle. Why is he puzzled? Well, there's many reasons. We can go through the Gemara's reasoning, right? Could be that no reason that at fault of his own. Turned out that he was a Karov. We had this by Kedushin. I was at a wedding last night. We have a Talmud from the yeshiva, Joseph Miller. Last week, I was an aide under the chuppah. So I was a little nervous about that. Rav Schechter was, I was afraid Rav Schechter would say to me, you, the aide, what are you crazy, you know? So, and I was at, for Shabbos, I was actually right by Deal. So I'm like, ooh, you know, you don't want the Yetzer Hara, go to Atlantic City, Pesach, Bukubia, you know? So, right? So you could be puzzled aid for real reasons, but this isn't even a good reason. Meaning he's an aid. It's the most kosher aid in the world, except, and this has happened before, Rabbi Tendler tells a story. He's at a wedding and he says, you know, you always ask as a Masada Kedushin, are you related? And the guy's like, no, I'm not really related, but I mean, I'm his great uncle. Like, are you crazy? You can't be an aide. You can be the closest. You're not allowed to do that. So now what happens? The guy walks away at $10,000 because there's no aide. And they go to Beis Din. What are you crying? The one aide says, he's screaming, Shai Vakayim. He says, I was there. The halacha is the halacha. Says the Zohar, you don't understand what happened in heaven. Hashem decided for some reason that that $10,000 is not your money. And he decides how you're going to lose that money, right? I always remember this great story of Emunah, which I didn't have, years and years ago. I was driving, it was a snowy day in Teaneck, New Jersey, and unfortunately I was driving down a down Cedar Lane, it's actually downhill, and my brakes went out, and it was snowing. Very bad combination. And the car was out of control. Baruch Hashem, there weren't a lot of cars on the road. And it started swerving and swerving and swerving. It was very, very scary, you could imagine. And I started using the emergency brake. You know, I was trying to think back to when I was 18 years old, all the things you're supposed to do. And Baruch Hashem, it was like literally spinning, and I was spinning. And I literally stopped, the car stopped. And I looked up, and this is not a joke. It was in front of the service station that I serviced my car. It was actually right down Cedar Lane, and that's where the car stopped. And I'm like, wow, Chasdei Hashem. I almost died. And I get out of the car, and I go to Yoram, and I say, wow, this is crazy. So he says, okay, we'll take care of it. Don't worry, you know. Obviously, it's probably your brakes. And then I go inside to, you know, register the car, whatever, so on and so forth. There's an Israeli woman who seemingly, as I like to say a lot, seemingly was not firm, but was much firmer than I'll ever be. And I said to her, this is the craziest thing. I said, well, I'm a good guy. Why would Hashem do that? I almost died. Why would Hashem do this to me? She goes, Slicha. She goes, this is an Israeli place in Teaneck, New Jersey. Slicha? Ma amata? What did you say? I said, what do you mean? I almost died. She goes, God decided that you needed some form of truth somewhere. Right? So your brakes went out. Instead of on a highway, you literally ended up in the place that you service your car. Like, how lucky are you? You don't have an amun on Hashem? Oh, wow. She just totally zinged me. That's true. We get, right? Because it has to be logical to us. Why did God do this to us? Logical. Din is not necessarily logical. Why am I losing this $10,000? I did everything I was supposed to do according to Halacha. And then I find out later on he was related to it. How was I supposed to know that? Right? Or you go to a Beis Din. I've gone to Beis Din before, I'm sorry to say. And sometimes it's not the most pleasant experience. And sometimes you walk out of it. It's very hard to walk out of a place and say, that's what the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted. Sometimes we don't know where money is coming from. Sometimes we don't realize that that's the way Hashem wanted to give us that money. So that's the way it works. I'll give you an example. Rabbi Reisman just said this example on his shir. Rabbi Reisman from Brooklyn. So he says like this. He says, a guy knocks on a door in Yerushalayim, an apartment house. Knocks on the door. They open the door. Kids are screaming, go crazy. He says, hi, I'm looking for a room to sleep in tonight. Do you have a room? I said, well, you're crazy. I got 6 kids. I got a 3-bedroom apartment, Baruch Hashem, which is a big deal in Yerushalayim. But I got 3 kids in each room. I don't know. Are you crazy? He says, what do you think? This is a hotel? It's not a hotel. Go to a hotel somewhere in Yerushalayim. The guy says to him, you're right. It's not a hotel. Let's call it a hotel. I paid $200 a night. All I want is a place to sleep and breakfast in the morning. The guy's like, guess what? We got room. We got one room left. Kicks the 3 kids out. He's got the next 6 kids sleeping in one room. He sleeps there beautifully. Wakes up in the morning. There's, you know, a little breakfast for him. Right? He's a tourist from America. Does this one day, 2 days, right? This guy's raking up the money. $200 for an Israeli. This is good, you know, for a Kola guy. It's a good living. Finally, on the 10th day, he says, Adkan. Hakaf Aleph, we're done. He says, I'm going back to America. He says, oh, you sure you don't want to stay a little bit? Come back to our hotel. He says, no, because, you know, this is it. I got to go back. I have a job, so on and so forth. So he says, oh, and by the way, I have regards for you from your Uncle Isaac. It's my Uncle Isaac from Brooklyn. How do you know my Uncle Isaac from Brooklyn? He says, what do you mean? Your Uncle Isaac gave me $2,000 to give you, and he gave me the address, and that's why I came here to stay, you know, for these days. So what's the, okay, so yeah, so Rabbi Reisman said that he said it at the end of his shir, Motzei Shabbos, and he says, it's a choshev mishpat shaila, whether the guy was allowed to do that. Okay, fine. Not for now. But this guy was getting the $2,000 one way or the other. It was a very mishuna way he got it. But what's my point? My point is we always think to ourselves it has to make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, and that's Avodas Hashem. Oftentimes Avodas Hashem is all about logic. And if it doesn't, it's not logical. If I wake up in the morning and I'm not feeling it, so I don't dive it. I don't have to dive it. Despite, I'm not even talking about the excuses you can make and say, I'm so sick. Oh, I don't have to go. I'm sick. You can make those excuses. Logic is not what Parshas Mishpatim is about. It's not. It's not. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would relate The pasuk we say every morning, Chukim mishpatim l'Yisrael, lo asayel chen l'chol goy, u'mishpatim bal yido. God didn't do everything to every other nation because of the what? The mishpatim. No, it should be the chukim. The chukim are the things that really, that we know, everybody agrees doesn't make sense. You're not allowed to wear shatnas. Don't start explaining it to me. Basar v'chalav. Don't start explaining it to me. There's no good explanation for it. You want to make, you know, you want to go into Zohar now and go to, the Svarim HaKadoshim all the way in the back and over there, you know, in that section. And you're going to find them and you're going to tell me the Pnimus and the Klippus and the Yishkoyach. But really, there's no good reason for it. It's a chuk. So why is Rav Aaron says, why do we say, U'mishpatim bal yidom? And we say the difference between us and the mishpatim? And that's the answer. In last week's parasha, it says, Kabeis avicha v'esimecha. Oh, it's so simple. It's the hardest mitzvah in the Torah. That's why it's on the right side. Because God says to you, even when it's difficult, I want you to do this. It's not the easiest mitzvah in the world. Sometimes, I'm zoicha not to have this problem, although I have a problem doing kibud avim in the appropriate way. I wish I could do it better. But I don't have parents. It's easy for me to do. My parents are amazing. It's easy to kibud avim. Sometimes you have parents who are difficult. How do you do kibud avim when they're always on top of you and art? That's difficult. Torah says you still got to do it. The mitzvah is difficult, you still got to do it. But why did you make it difficult for me? God, why did you create me like this? I have to learn Torah. I have, PTSD, HD, ATLD, blah, 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 blah. I'm taking all this medicine. It doesn't work. Right? Come on. Live the chayal, PTSD. No, you can't. No excuses. And that's a chiddush I would like to say in Rashi. Rashi here says, Ve'eleh ha-mishpatim. Listen to this. Tell me if you like it. Well, don't tell me. Lama nisucha parsha dinim the parsha mizbeach. The last parsha, in last week's parsha, ends off with a very interesting din, which says, right, it talks about the mizbeach, v'lo ta'ale b'ma'alot al mizbeach, ela lo tigla ervato. You're not allowed to, the altar, the mizbeach, did not have steps. It had a ramp. Why? So that your nakedness will not be uncovered. In the Kohen that was wearing a robe that is ordinated by the Torah, how exactly he had to wear it. So it didn't have undergarments with it. And therefore, if you would take wide steps on steps, Ki'ilo, we'll see in a moment what this means, the steps would see his undergarments. What? So says the, we'd see that he's not wearing undergarments. So says the, what's the smichas parshios? He says when it comes to dinim, he says like this, V'lama nisucha parsha dinim l'parshas mizbeach, lomar lecha shitasim Sanhedrin eitz l'mikdash. That the Sanhedrin has to be next to the mikdash. Because it's one in one. It's one in parts of one in one. Just parenthetically, the Mechilta, in some editions, Rashi actually doesn't say the word mikdash, it says mizbeach, which is going to work better for the pshat that I'm about to say. And that's in fact what some commentators do say, that a Tzedel of Derech says is a copy error, the word mikdash is mizbeach. The Be'er Mayim Chaim says no, because it was in the mikdash where the Sanhedrin was. Okay, whatever. But what is the smichas parshas, really? So I thought that maybe it's the last Rashi in last week's Parsha. Because if you look at last week's Parsha, the last Rashi, it says the following. It says, as I just told you, you go up, when you go up the ramp, so, quote unquote, the Zavanim don't see anything. Asher Tiklai Vato says Rashi, Shal Yidei HaMegalot Ata Tzarich LaHakrib Psyot. If you take steps, you take wide steps. And therefore, the alpi she'enu giloi erva mamish. You're going to see nakedness. She'arei ksiv yasem had michnas eivad. The Torah tells us you have to make these top and linen pants. It's the way it was. V'ata noye gam minog bizayon. It's a bizayon. Bizayon. What does that mean? It's a bizayon. What's the bizayon here? What's the humiliating? Who's humiliated here? The etzim v'avonim. Hare devarim kal v'chaymer. There's a kal v'chaymer. Uma avonim halal shein b'hem das l'hakpid al bizayon. This mizbeach is made out of avonim. You think it really cares that it's going to see your nakedness? Ew, ew. It's a, come on, stop it. So he says, Hoyil v'yesh b'hem tsoyrich al tinag b'minog. Tishus aminog bizayon. L'chavrecha b'tzmut yitzircha. Kama achas v'kama v'kama. It's an analogy telling us that we have to be careful how we treat other people, how we stomp on people sometimes and humiliate them. But I think this is Hainu Hach. That's what Rashi's saying over here. Rashi's saying that's the connection with the Mizbeach. The din is that when you see your fellow person, you say, that's it, it's done. The din is done. You sit there with the other person. You say, this comes from the Rabbeinu Shem. And it's hard. How are you going to be friendly with this person for the rest of your life when you went to a din with him? But when they paskin a din, that's what the din is in Yeshkayach. That's it. It's not logical necessarily for your mind. Guess what? Judaism is not logical. Shkoyach. Finished. Doesn't have to be logical. If we live our lives thinking that every point in the Torah has to be logical, and now we have to, in our generation, explain, no, what the Torah says is really, don't worry, sir, I'm going to explain to you why. You really believe that? Ha ha. You can't believe that. That's crazy. Right? Even in some countries, bris milah became, how can you allow that? It's not logical. Mishpatim are not logical. Don't make a mistake. It's true that some psak din in the secular Israeli government follows the law, and it's true that in some secular colleges, in America even, in law schools, they learn Gemara cases. Yeah, that's great. But it's not because of logic. It's because that is the din that Hashem has made. And we have to follow that. We have to follow it no matter what. And not make excuses. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. Society has changed. This is the Torah that lays lenetzach netzachim. We have to recognize that and appreciate it. And appreciate that the laws that we follow, the mishpatim that we follow, is the ways of Hashem. The Eila is the Vavach Hebrew, it's the connection. That's part of accepting the Torah. Is accepting that we don't understand. Yes, it's chukim u'mishpatim. Because in secular society, if it doesn't make sense, if your father's not the greatest guy in the world, so you don't have to show him kavod. It's fine. So what? He until you were 18 years old, he did every single thing for you. But he's not a nice guy. He wasn't a nice guy, and that bothered me. How did that make you feel, says your psychologist, right? No, it doesn't work that way. And if somebody's a little bit off, you still have to treat them with respect. And if you leave the basin and you don't like the halach, the apostasy, you know what? Maybe the money was going to come out in a much worse way. Baruch Hashem, he got the money. Yeah, I'm not going to say anything. Just quiet. That's the way you have to see things. We should be zeichet to understand that is our focal point of what we are and what we should be. And we should be zeichet to have clarity in our lives and understanding that logic does not dictate always the way that we should live our lives as Torah Jews. But in Mirtz Hashem, we will get that logic back and understanding back when, as Rashi says, we have a Sanhedrin that's next to the Mizbeach, that's next to the Mikdash. Because Hashem, Mirtz Hashem, will give us that with the Bias Kol Tzedek V'Heir V'Yameinu, Amen V'Yameinu.